Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been thinking about something lately. Actually, I think about it a lot. It's one of my goals that I don't always reach. And I just wrote it in a letter to someone, a prison ministry letter, at 2:30 in the morning because I woke up from my coffee. And it's about this. What are our expectations in life? What do we want? When we do something, what do we want? When someone does something, what do we want? And I told them I really want two things in life, really. I want to love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. That's all. Just everything be love. Everything be filtered through love, no matter what. And I want only one goal regarding people. This is where I fall short. I want only one goal. Sometimes I have this goal, but I have other goals as well. Other expectations as well. And that one goal is just to love them. So if someone encounters me, I encounter them. I continue an encounter with them. I write to them. I visit them. I counsel them. I give them confession. They come to church for some period of time, maybe a long period of time or a short. I meet them on the street. Whatever it is, that there's only one goal, that is to love that person, as God loves them. That's the only goal. Now, I think of love as a bright light. Those of us who've camped before, and the campfire, you've got a big, big fire going, and you're looking in the fire, and you're cooking or roasting marshmallows that you don't want to eat, because I don't like them, but I like to roast them. And the fire is very hot and very, very bright. Well, if you turn around from that fire, and you look out into the woods, you can't see anything because of the brightness of the light. Because your eyes are not adjusted to the darkness. It would take some time for your pupils to dilate so you can see well, or your pupils to expand so you can see well. And I think of love sort of like that. That the bright light of love is so bright that it washes out everything else. So as a man, I have expectations. My expectations are not the same as the ones that Jesus is talking about when he's at the Pharisees' meal today in this gospel, where someone would reward me with something in kind. I take them to dinner, they take me to dinner. I give them a favor, they give me a favor. That's what Jesus is talking about here, and it's a terrible sin to only do favors for people that can give favors back. But there's another kind of favor, I think, when I think about it very carefully, that I want sometimes from people. I want them to respond. I want them to do better. I want them to act in an ethical way. I want them to continue with the faith. I want them to come to church more frequently. I want them to stop what it is that they're doing, their drug addiction or something else. I want them to be a little more kind, or a dozen or a thousand other things. And the fact is that some people change and some people don't, just like you and me. There are things that we do, that we continue to do, that we shouldn't be doing. There might be loved ones that are helping us or love us in some way, but we still do that thing that we shouldn't be doing. And so it is with everybody pretty much in the world, just about. And when I kind of spiritualize this gospel, and that's what I do with all of the gospels, they sort of always seem to have a personal message for me. I don't mean that in any kind of weird way, like there's a voice in my head or anything strange like that. But there's always a personal message here. When I read this gospel, I see that there's a ruler of the Pharisees, an elite man, who invites Jesus because Jesus is sort of on that cusp of being elite. You know, people are talking about him, and he's a very important person. And it would be very useful to have Jesus in his home. And among some people, of course, among others, perhaps later on, nobody would want him in his home because they would be afraid they would be cast out. But when Jesus was wildly popular, before they really understood exactly what he was telling them, all of the elite wanted to have him over. Even Herod wanted to have him, to see him, and hadn't been able to see him until the very end. So he invites Jesus to his home, and they have a meal, and there must have been other elite people there. You think that there were prostitutes there? You think that there were poor people there? Absolutely not. There were just other of his class and his kindred. So he tells this man, whenever thou makest a midday meal or supper, Do not be calling thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinfolk, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they should also invite thee in turn, and it would be a recompense to thee. But whenever thou makest a reception, be inviting the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be happy, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee, for it shall be recompensed to thee in the resurrection of the just. And the way that message came to me today is that I should expect nothing from anybody. The only thing I should expect from a person is that they can be loved by me. That whatever they need, if I'm capable of supplying it, that I will supply it. If I'm not capable of supplying it, at least I can pray. If what I supply bears fruit, then glory be to God. If what I supply does not bear fruit, then glory be to God. Because we shouldn't be inviting someone to dinner to get something from them. We shouldn't be loving someone so that they can be this or be that. This is a great snare, I think, for Christians, for me particularly. I think priests get very demoralized when they see how oftentimes people have a very low level of faith and they're shaken very, very easily, not only by things that are tragedies that happen in their world or extreme complications in their life, but really just they just fall away so easily without really hardly thinking about it. And a priest sees this all the time. And if we could only believe in God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love Him in the same way, if we only loved God, then naturally we would love our neighbor. And if we loved our neighbor with the love that God has, we would not be disappointed at whatever our neighbor does. That's the way God is. That's the way we should be. So that's what this gospel tells me today. And the gospel, the second gospel, is for St. John the Almsgiver. St. John the Almsgiver took things that were temporary and he made them permanent because he was rich, because he was the Patriarch of Alexandria. And many men have been rich and been bishops and fallen far from Christianity because of it. But he was full of mercy. So he gave away everything and was known as being particularly kind and generous to everyone. And there's one story, I just read his story and I sent it to somebody in email today, that he was going somewhere and of course he had a posse with him, right? Deacons and other such people. And there was a widow who wanted to talk to him, probably about her problems, about her grievance, about something that she was poor or whatever, maybe that her son never goes to see her anymore or that she's hungry or that she's being mistreated by the tax magistrate or whatever it is. And she just went on and on. Some people do go on and on, you know, when they talk to you. It's not easy to deal with that sometimes. But he just kept listening to her. He had a place that he had to be, but he just kept listening to her. And his deacons were saying, come on, we got to go. And he's saying, if I don't sit and listen to this woman, why would I expect God to listen to me? And so he listened to this woman. Maybe this woman got what she needed. Maybe this woman is among the just now. Maybe this woman didn't improve. Who knows? But John gave love to her. And that's it. I think that's a good thing to know. That's all we do. Now the gospel is from St. Luke, the Beatitudes, the shorter Beatitudes, which have always been curious to me why there are so few, why there are some that are left out. It might be that Luke only remembered those ones, something like that. And it is not the same incident, by the way, too, because in the Beatitudes of Matthew, he clearly goes up on a mountain. And most of the fathers think he was really telling it only to his disciples. And here he's on a plane, and the crowd is here. And these Beatitudes are all about the future, mostly. Not just the future, because there's blessedness, there's the kingdom of God now, but the fullness of the kingdom of God is later. So blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So a poor man will not be rich in this life. He'll be rich in the next life. Blessed are ye who weep now, for ye shall laugh. If any Christian stops weeping in this life, he ceases to be a Christian. There must be weeping if we are Christians. That's a very fundamental, dogmatic, ascetical teaching of Orthodoxy. If we don't have some weeping, We're not really Christians. Now, I'm not saying weeping all the time. There should be joy, but there's joy as well as weeping. So if we are weeping, we will eventually laugh, but we won't have unhappiness completely removed from our life in this life. Blessed are you, hunger now, for you shall be filled. If we hunger for righteousness, we're not righteous enough yet. We'll never be righteous enough in this life. All of these things are about, partially about what's happening now, but mostly about what will happen later. And so it is when we interact with people. Perhaps they do well, perhaps they do poorly. Perhaps they thank us, perhaps they don't. Perhaps they actually mock us or actually say bad things about us. Or perhaps, in my case, they go back to jail, go back to prison, fall out of contact, whatever it is. All of that means there's sort of delayed, shall we say, gratification. But it wouldn't be delayed gratification if the only thing that gratifies me is to be loved and to love. So if I only love God, and therefore, I don't say only, if I love God, then of course I will love others. Because one cannot love God without loving his neighbor. It's impossible. And you can take that another way. If you don't love your neighbor, then you don't love God. So if I love God, then I love my neighbor. And I have only one goal. That is to love my neighbor. Which means every time that I interact with my neighbor, I fulfill my goal. Now, there might be ancillary goals, because after all, we're practical people. It might be that my neighbor needs food or raiment or to be free of drug addiction or to be out of a bad relationship or to stop fornication or to pray with more fervor or to believe in God, period. Whatever it is, all these things, they're all secondary. And sometimes in my life, they become more primary. And then I'm disappointed pretty much all the time. If I look at myself, I'm disappointed. But if I am loved by God and love Him, then I'm not disappointed. So this is sort of my little psychological, spiritual way of looking at this these two Gospels. I think it's a useful way. I don't think I'm the only one. I divide people sometimes a little bit into groups. I don't mean in a prejudicial way, but I think there are obviously believers and unbelievers, that sort of thing. And I think that there's kind of two ways of belief that I see in my practical life. There's people who believe in God and they are struggling against their sins. They're recognizing that they have deficits, and they are struggling against those deficits. And there's a generosity that wells up in their heart because they know that they are loved by God and they struggle. And they're aware of themselves. They have some insight into things that are wrong about them. Now, we don't have full insight. Very few people do. But at least some insight about what's wrong with us. And then there are people that they say that they love God, but they seem to have no real inner vision of themselves. When they compare themselves to God, if they are doing such a thing ever, they don't see that much of a difference. They see themselves as a pretty good person and that they're doing the things that they need to do in life and such. Those are the two kind of basic kinds of faith that I encounter. Now, there's some variations on the theme, but those are the two basic kinds of faith. We should be the first, but when we encounter the second, we should still be the first. We should still just love. That's it. So we should, when we invite someone to the supper that we give for them, all we should expect from them is that they are loved by us when they come to the supper. Maybe they'll eat of the supper. Maybe they won't. Maybe whatever they'll do, they'll do. But we, as Christians, will love them. And that will be our only goal. That would be just so remarkable to have just that goal. How simple our life would be if we just loved God. Because we loved God, we loved others. And that our only goal regarding others is to love them. I hope you have that as a goal as well. I hope we reach our goal. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.